The proliferation of microservices isn't just changing the way enterprise software is architected, but it's changing the way software is deployed, and it's even changing the way software is stored. To find out how microservices and tools like Jenkins and concepts like continuous integration are changing source code management tools, especially ones that are built around Git, we actually got the CEO of GitLabs on the phone. So, how is microservices, continuous integration, and the proliferation of these technologies changing the way you deliver Git?
We've seen a couple of things. We see that there's a microservices revolution happening. So people are splitting up more and more applications into microservices. You can argue with whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, but the thing is, it's happening. And using Git in a proper way just leads to a big growth in the number of distinct repositories that you have. And it becomes more of a burden to integrate all the tools, setting up new CI projects in Jenkins, setting up all kinds of other stuff. So we think it makes sense. CI is something you should do for every project. If you're going to have lots of projects, it's so much easier if it's part of the tool itself. Also allows us everywhere in the interface in GitLab, when you view a commit, when you view a merge request, when you view a tag, to always link the relevant CI status, the relevant build architects, etc. So it's much easier to use. And last but not least, our mission is that everybody can contribute. And it used to be that your CI configuration was inside Jenkins, inside some setting there, and you had to ask the Jenkins person to change it. That doesn't make sense anymore. If you make a new function in your program, maybe you need to change something in the CI, maybe you have a new dependency, a new Docker service you should run. You should be able to specify that inside the repo, have it on the version control, and have your feature branch tested different than the master branch. And if somebody pushes an old commit from an old stable release, the configuration should reflect that state at that time. So we think that the CI configuration belongs in the repo. So in GitLab CI, it's in a GitLab CI.yaml file where you can collaborate. So those are the three reasons why we are shipping CI inside of GitLab. The explosion of the number of repositories necessitating closer integration, making it easier to have it from your interface integrated everywhere you need it, and for to make sure everybody can contribute to the CI settings and the way CI is run.
Now, there's always a lot of discussion of cloud-based hosting of source code management tools, but every organization that I've ever worked with always wants to have their Git installation on-premise. What are some of the things that you talk to vendors about in order to convince them to use GitLabs for hosting their source code management repository on-premise?
I think that we want to highlight that it's a great option to host your Git repos on-premises with GitLab, and that GitLab offers a lot of advantages. Since it's an open source project, lots of enterprise features that the enterprise needs were contributed to it, so it's very fully featured. It's very well integrated. For example, if you have stuff like microservices, we make sure that you can go all the way from making an issue and chatting about it all the way to running your CI on it and deploying it. So, and that's resonating in the market. Month over month, our last month, the downloads grew 93%. So we're seeing amazing growth and traction. And we think that's a good story to go out with.
Now, of course, you've got the on-premise solution. You've also got a cloud-based solution, but there's also something called GitLabs I/O. How does GitLabs I/O fit into the equation?
We're most popular on-premises. We're the most installed Git management system there. We do see a giant future for the cloud, obviously. So we have GitLab.com, which is also growing very rapidly. We also have had a lot of people asking for a single tenant solution. So we have githost.io, where we run a GitLab server especially for you that allows you to do things like hook it up to your LDAP server. And make sure that all the people on the server are employees and that their rights are exactly as they should be. So we got four offerings, basically. We got our community edition that's completely open source and used on premises. We got a so-called enterprise edition that's proprietary on premises. We got GitLab.com, which is free. Everybody has unlimited repositories. We think that the SaaS Git storage is going the way of Gmail, where there are no limits anymore. And fourth, we got githost.io, which is single tenant hosting, where we take care of the updates and the backups.
So what types of tools and features are available to organizations that might be using a different source code management tool but want to migrate and transition to Git or GitLabs?
Yeah, there obviously we have people from all situations. So people that use, for example, now SVN, they are used to having a linear version history. And to make it easier for them to start using GitLab, we have something called Rebase on Merge, which allows you to use Git, use feature branches, but as soon as you merge it, it will create a linear history, which is something that people switching from SVN like to use. Lots of hardware manufacturers prefer that. So that's one of the reasons they choose GitLab.
Now, I've also been hearing about Perforce and GitLabs. How do those two source code management repositories link together and work together?
Perforce is another version control system similar to SVN and Git. It's an alternative. It's used by a lot of game manufacturers, and they now ship with an integrated GitLab, so you can enjoy both Perforce and GitLab. And because GitLab is an open source project, they felt comfortable shipping something that is basically made by a competitor of theirs. So that's a great story for their current Perforce customers. Other people are already using Git, but they're using a plain Git server that doesn't allow for the web collaboration. Those people we sell on the advantages of doing code reviews together, doing that peer review, which increases the quality of your code. It increases learning within your company, and it's something we strongly feel every company should do. And then, for example, we encounter some GitHub Enterprise installations on premises, and those people we can make happy by explaining that we have a complete importer for GitHub. So you can transfer all your repos, your issues, your wikis, and your merge requests with one button and import them all to GitLab. So we try to make that transition as seamless as possible.
Now, the GitLab's package offers more than just a simple installation of Git. Otherwise, people would just download from Git. So what exactly comes with the GitLab's omnibus package that people are downloading, installing, and using to manage their source code?
So the first thing is, what do you get when you download our omnibus package? You get GitLab and all its dependencies. Many of our customers are working behind firewalls, so they want one package that installs everything, sets everything up so they can be up and running in a couple of minutes instead of having to tie everything together. We've got a great system for that. It's called Omnibus, and it installs GitLab, the Rails application, but also Nginx as a web server, Postgres as a database, and Redis as a key value store. It installs some other smaller things, but those are the basics. So you get a complete GitLab. Then also what we ship with it is Mattermost. Mattermost is an on-premises chat client similar to Slack. So you get on-premises Slack. Many of our users want all their software on premises for either legal or technical or safety reasons. And this gives them an alternative that they can use to communicate, collaborate, discuss stuff. What we recommend that people also use is stuff that we're planning to ship in our Omnibus packages in the future. We're going to send you the URL later, but it's on aboutgitlab.com/direction/scope. GitLab already comes with a complete issue tracker, so you don't need that. There are scrum boards in GitLab, but if you want something that looks a bit nicer, we're working on bundling it with UBoard. We're big fans of online IDEs, so-called browser IDEs, and we're planning on shipping one with GitLab. Obviously, for version control, that's a core part of GitLab. But GitLab, and you might not know this, GitLab ships with continuous integration out of the box. So there's no need to set up a Jenkins server. GitLab has all that integrated, so it's very easy to find in the interface, and it's very easy to collaborate on how you test your code, which is becoming more and more important. GitLab ships with a code review tool, so that you can use a GitLab merge request to discuss the code. And two other things we're planning to ship with GitLab is a better way to deploy applications. This is already possible with GitLab, but we want to make it easier out of the box. And so-called chat ops client, where you can use your chat interface to see when a deployment happened or revert a deployment if you notice any problems.
Now, a lot of organizations are just using a plain Git repository to check code into and pull code out of. And of course, GitLab provides a more comprehensive set of tools and technologies that surrounds Git. If an organization is just using a simple Git installation for source code management, what are the things that you think they're really missing out on?
I think what happens in those companies a lot is that the peer review of code suffers. Either the peer review happens via email upfront, or they have something called post-commit and post. The worst thing is like that also means post-deploy mostly code review. If you do code review via email, that's a very cumbersome process. It's very hard to make suggestions there, so you don't get as good of a quality of code review. If you do it after you've already deployed your code on production, people are much less open to changes. After all, this code is working. Any problems that were there were already discovered and fixed. So we think an ideal time to do code review is before it's live, but to use a tool like GitLab to make it really convenient to leave a comment and to have a conversation about it. That allows everybody to increase quality, to learn from one another, to discuss alternatives when there's still room for that, and people see that really happens, and it's a very powerful tool to make your development process more effective. And also, I forgot, there's also people that don't do code reviews at all, which is something that they can quickly improve their quality and the speed of deployment and the experience level of their developers with. So it's a no-brainer.